This is Cliff Mass, and welcome to my weather podcast. Each week, I talk about current weather, provide a forecast for the weekend and beyond, and give you more details about an interesting weather phenomenon. It's Tuesday evening, June 13th, and in this podcast, I will discuss the latest and quite soggy forecast, and then turn to a discussion of the dense smoke that struck the New York metro area last week. Now, today was cool with a few light sprinkles west of the Cascade Crest, definitely a little bit of drizzle, and Wednesday will be a little bit better. We'll see a little bit more sun and temperatures getting into the lower 70s in the western side of the state, and it'll be sunny and temperatures driving up into the lower 80s in the east. Thursday and Friday will be more of the same, but then the world changes, and it's going to be very dramatic. A strong low-pressure system, an upper-level trough, will move into the northwest on Saturday and Sunday. And this feature, although weakening, will stick around one form or the other well into next week. And you will notice it. High temperatures over the weekend will only get into the upper 50s in the west, and of course warmer in the east, and substantial rain will fall over the weekend, particularly on Sunday, and particularly on the western side of local terrain like the Cascades and the Olympics. This will be a drought buster event that will push wildfire risk well into the future. British Columbia will get particularly heavy rain, and there it will really put off any chances of fires for a long time. My next blog will describe the details of this event with all its soggy details. Weather doesn't end with the forecast. Now let's talk about the special weather topic of the week. The national media has been giving extensive coverage to the dense smoke that was produced by wildfires over Quebec. Smoke that moved into the northeast United States. Now, many of the headlines suggested that the primary culprit was climate change, or to be more exact, anthropogenic global warming forced by increasing greenhouse gases such as CO2 and methane. David Horsey of the Seattle Times even had a cartoon about the situation, and he went all in for a predominant global warming origin. Such media claims are, in fact, not consistent with the best peer-reviewed science. They are inconsistent with the observational record and inconsistent with our growing understanding of the meteorology associated with wildfire events. To put it diplomatically, these media reports are poorly informed. Now, as I will explain below, the facts are quite clear. For this particular event, an unusual atmospheric circulation occurring at the optimal time of the year resulted in wildfire ignition and the rapid growth of the fire, with an improbable airflow pushing the undiluted smoke into the New York area. Global warming was only a minor player in the event. I think I can make that case. Now, don't get me wrong, a significant environmental event struck the New York metropolitan area last week. I mean, it was serious. It included some of the worst air quality of the world hitting New York, as dense wildfire smoke surged southward from Quebec. The conditions over New York were comparable to the most polluted areas of the world, such as northern India and China. But even more impressive, the wildfire smoke reaching New York was the worst to hit the city in at least a half century, and perhaps longer. So if global warming climate change was not the cause. Why did it happen? That will be the topic of this podcast. The first thing to keep in mind was the timing was right. It was almost perfect. The recent wildfires occurred in the boreal forests of central and northern Quebec. Fire is not rare in this region. In fact, the ecology of the forests in that region rely on fire for the release of seeds and for forest health. Many of the major boreal fires that have occurred there, if not most of them, have occurred during a narrow temporal window from mid-April through early June. This is just when the winter snow has melted back, and therefore grasses and small vegetation have not had a chance to green up yet. So there's all this dead grass and stuff from the previous year, and the vegetation did not have enough warm weather to green up. And so you have this period of flammability of the grasses from the previous year. During this short window of opportunity before the green up, the dead vegetation for the previous year can dry out very quickly after a short warm period. We're talking like one day or less. And in that day, it can become dry enough to burn if there's an ignition source, such as lightning or some unfortunate human activity. In any case, because of this reason, many of the great Quebec fires have occurred in spring, such as the May 2010 fire that spread massive smoke into New England, but not New York. And just to give you another historical one, May 1870, the Saguenay fire, however you pronounce that, spread smoke as far as the British Isles. Large boreal fires in Canada during the spring are not unusual, and they are not a sign of climate change. So let's talk about when and how these fires in Quebec formed. Starting around roughly May 27th, an area of unusually strong high pressure started to build over the region, producing rapid warming that quickly dried out the vegetation over central Quebec. And I should note that some areas of Quebec climbed into the 80s and lower 90s, and that's 20 to 30 degrees above normal. And this warming continued several days into early June. So the light surface fuels, such as grasses that were left over from the previous years, they were dried out. They were ready to burn. All that was needed was an ignition source. And that occurred on June 1st to June 2nd as a massive lightning storm with hundreds of lightning strikes were generated by an approaching upper-level trough of low pressure that pushed southward over Quebec. So let's talk about the weather before May 27th, right before the event. The weather prior to the warm spell was not unusually dry. The Canadian Drought Monitor showed normal moisture conditions. Temperatures were near or below normal. So it wasn't like there was an extended period of antecedent warmth and dryness. That was not the issue here. It was the fact we had fuels that were flash dried by high pressure and a warming period. Now the lightning that was generated by this approaching trough ignited numerous fires, and the subsequent passage of the low-pressure system not only resulted in lightning, but it produced strong winds that stoked the fire, and many fires, resulting in rapid, uncontrolled growth of fires. Even worse, it's like a late-night TV commercial, the low-pressure area then pushed south and intensified east of New York, producing persistent strong winds from the northwest that moved the smoke from Quebec into the New York metropolitan area. It was the perfect storm for New York, with several independent elements coming together. So let's summarize. The event occurred in late spring when Quebec's grasses from the previous year were easily ignited after the snow melted and a little warmth dried it out. It needed an intense area of high pressure to reduce the warm, dry conditions required for the grass to dry rapidly. Then a strong low pressure area was needed to produce massive lightning, causing multiple fires, and was associated with strong winds that caused a rapid fire intensification and spread. Finally, an unusually strong and persistent low center had to form off the central coast to create unusual wind pathway to push the smoke into New York. A half dozen atmospheric dice had to come up all sixes to do this. Okay, now the question is a climate change contribution. It is difficult to find any plausible evidence for a significant climate change connection to the recent New York smoke event. The preceding weather over Quebec for months prior were near normal. There is no evidence that strong high pressure over southern Canada is associated with climate change, as some people are claiming. In fact, there is a deep literature in the literature to which I have contributed that demonstrates no amplification of the wave-like disturbances in the atmosphere as the planet warms. The long-term trend in Quebec has been for more precipitation and for temperatures to increase. In fact, the temperature had warmed about 2 degrees Fahrenheit over the past half century. Now, let's assume that this warming was entirely produced by humans. It still represents only a small proportion of the excessive heat during the event, in which the Quebec temperatures climbed to 20 to 25 degrees Fahrenheit above normal. So what are the lessons from this event? The recent intense New York smoke event is a good illustration of the underlying origins of many extreme environmental and both climate and weather events. The atmosphere is a chaotic system with a variety of modes of random natural variability. Such variability is not unlike a game of cards, and rarely by the luck of the draw one is dealt a full house or a straight flush. Most extreme weather events, from heat waves to record flooding, are associated with such luck of the draw, or unluck of the draw, in which a variety of weather features align, often during a favorable time of the year. Climate change can make extreme events slightly more or less likely, but its current impacts on things like this wildfire in Quebec are relatively small compared to the random variations inherent in a hugely complex atmosphere, ocean, land system. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening to my podcast. Feel free to send me your questions or any topics you would like me to cover. This podcast will be available every Friday morning on my blog and major podcast platforms. If you would like to support this podcast, feel free to use the Patreon link on my blog. See you next time.